Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for the beautiful day you've blessed us with and so many blessings you've already poured upon us. And now the awesome opportunity to get into your word. Help us to know the importance of doing that very thing and digging deep in there to find that message you want us to receive. And give us that understanding of that message and the boldness that we find in your word to go on out and share that with others as well. We thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your work, because truly it is your work. And help us always give you full honor and full glory and full credit for everything it has accomplished. We thank you so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Overcome evil thoughts. Like, well, I'm not evil. I don't have evil thoughts. What does the Word of God say? Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. And that's why the worldwide judgment. That's why he cast judgment upon the entire planet, because of sin. And we got to understand that deep within all of us, we have that kind of sin there. That it is there when we are born into this world, because we are descendants of Adam and Eve. That sin began all the way back there and has followed through all through the centuries. And until we receive a glorified body and separate completely from this physical body that we currently have, then evil is still in there. Even though we become born again and indwelt with the Holy Ghost, we have that tug of war that Paul writes about. That tug of war between the flesh and the spirit, the flesh doing and thinking evil, the evil thoughts that can spring up so quickly, the thoughts of vengeance or harm to someone else or destruction of some sort that just wells up so quickly. We need to pray to the Lord that that be suppressed, that that be controlled. Over in Jeremiah chapter 17, we see further evidence of this deceitfulness that is within all mankind. In Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Notice his ways and his doings. He knows our thoughts. And we are judged by what we do with those thoughts. Do we initiate those thoughts of evil, of resistance, of rebellion? Or do we yield to them, indwell in that, participate in that, follow through with those evil thoughts? We need to get rid of those evil thoughts, get them wiped away. But as even over in the New Testament, in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we recognize right from the beginning that we're all a bunch of filthy sinners. We get saved, we get washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, we're cleansed, we're white again, totally clean. And then we go forward from there. What do you do next? Do you always bring honor and glory to the Lord, or does sometimes that tug of war, or you lose a little bit and that flesh rises up and you start feeling some kind of evil come up in you? This is easier controlled in some people than it is others because of that battle that's in there. The devil knows what your triggers are. When he sees your reaction to things and when he knows what triggers you into having those emotions of evil, he uses that over and over to keep you down. To even make you think that, oh, if I thought such things and want to do such things, then I must not be a Christian anyway. How can I do a work for the Lord if I have such thoughts? Well, we go back to the same reference I mentioned earlier when Paul talking about that tug of war. It's a constant battle that we're battling. So stay as righteous and as holy and as pure as you possibly can by going on the spirit side, by listening to the Holy Ghost. He will direct us. He will guide us. He will help us. In Mark, the Lord teaching us, in Mark chapter 7, verse 21, For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So it starts with that thought, and then it gets into action. And then you are defiled. You become tainted. You become dirty again. So what do you do about it? You got to get it clean. Because if you don't get it clean, we know there's going to be judgment. There's going to be a judgment come upon all of us at the appropriate time. As it says over in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it is, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So we know everything is going to be looked at. Everything that we have done, as well as every thought that we have had, every word that we have spoken. So when you have those evil thoughts, ask the Lord to get rid of them, clean them out, get rid of them. Ask for forgiveness. That's one of the key things that Christians should do daily, constantly, is to ask for forgiveness. When you have those evil thoughts, if you're going down the road and you're driving and somebody does something to aggravate you and you're thinking, oh, I hope your tire blows and you have a wreck, that's an evil thought. Ask for forgiveness for it. You know, or other things that happen. Somebody cuts in line with you when you're waiting in line at a counter somewhere and somebody jumps in front of you. Do you have an evil thought like, oh, if I had the strength and the ability, I'd just reach up and smack you right down on the ground? But no, we're not supposed to do that. Now, you're supposed to have that thought, but it still comes up in us sometimes. It's triggered so easily. Now, know this, that the devil cannot enter your mind and change your thoughts or enter your heart. Once you are a born-again Christian, the Holy Ghost comes into you. There's a no vacancy sign hung up there. But there's still within you, yourself, that root of evil that is still there, that tug of war that Paul talks about. But the devil then takes your response, your actual actions, and he knows those. He sees those. So if you've just had the thought, but you didn't put it into motion, then the devil don't know about that thought, which is very comforting to know that he cannot understand your mind or know your mind, don't know your thoughts. You would think he does sometimes by the things that he puts in front of us and tempts us with, but it's because of our response to those thoughts. It's because of our reactions, whether it be a facial reaction or a physical reaction or an action that actually involved implementing that evil that you thought about. So that's the difference. Even though you have those evil thoughts, there's still forgiveness for them. You can still get forgiveness for them. You can get them taken away. You can get them suppressed. The more you suppress them, the more the spirit rises up and the less of those evil thoughts you'll have. But that is the battle that is within all of us. That is why you've seen so many Christians that have fallen, that have failed, that have backslid, that at one time they were living a righteous life, that they were doing well. But then they messed up. One of them evil thoughts come up and they yielded to it. And he went ahead and participated in whatever evil that was, whether it was an action against somebody else or an action against themselves. Because there are harmful things that we do to ourselves that are evil at their core as well. There's a lot of self-abuse out there. There's a lot of people that are dealing with a lot of issues and problems in their health and in their relationships because of what they've done to themselves. And that started with the thought. So control those thoughts. That's the important part of it. In Romans chapter 14, another reference to how we are going to be giving account. In Romans chapter 14, verse 11 and 12. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Give an account. Going to be accountability. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now that appearing before the judgment seat of Christ is only for the believers. Read that again in verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Like I'm saying, there's two great judgments, judgment seat of Christ and a great white throne judgment. We got to look over in Revelation to see that great white throne judgment. So what we have in the future, the next major prophetic event to occur is the rapture of the church. And then the battle of Gog and Magog kicks in. And at the end of the battle of Gog and Magog, the Antichrist will rise up and sign that treaty with Israel, initiating the 7-year tribulation time. At the end of the tribulation time, the Lord will come down. He'll separate the sheep from the goats and will go into the millennial period. 1,000 years there, ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ, all the believers. And at the end of the millennial period, total destruction of all creation into nothingness and the great white throne judgment. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Notice, books, records. There are records being kept of everything that a Christian has said and done and even thought. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. Over and over we see it's according to your works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Into that lake of fire for eternity. All those that have not trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. All those that have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, everything that they have done will be looked at as well. When you become born again Christian, you're washed in the blood, wiped away clean all your sins, pure and clean and holy, and then you start forward. What have you done from the time you were born again to the time of judgment is going to be looked at. Did you get it taken care of? Did you ask for forgiveness for it when you failed? Or did you carry it around and take it all the way to judgment? If you carried it around and took it all the way to judgment, you're going to be held accountable for it. But if you got it taken care of, then it's gone. So that's the thing we've got to always do. Pray constantly without stopping, as it says, without ceasing. Continuously communication with the Heavenly Father. When you're totally in that connection, when you have that indwelling spirit of the Holy Ghost, He's going to help you overcome those evil thoughts so that they don't go into your works and be counted against you. Your evil thoughts that you're having, as long as they don't result in evil works, all they've done is keep you from having a blessing, but they're not counted against you as a sin. Your evil thoughts will keep you from having a blessing because you're so indwelt with those evil thoughts that you're missing out on the blessing you could be receiving of love and kindness and forgiveness and compassion. They get wiped away when you have those evil thoughts, and peace goes away when you have those evil thoughts. So you're losing out on those blessings. But your evil thoughts, like we pointed out here, the works, judged according to their works, according to their works. Your thoughts are not your works. When you put your thoughts into work and do what the evil thoughts are, then that counted against you. But what your evil thoughts do is keep you from being able to receive a blessing while you're here in this realm. Because you lose out on peace, you lose out on comfort, you lose out on joy. It's gone when you have those evil thoughts. And you're eating up your blessings that you could be enjoying. Because when you have an evil thought, you have a grudge, when you have a hardship, a hard feeling towards somebody else or something else, it's a weight on you that you're carrying. You don't have to carry that around. Get rid of it. Wash it out. Throw it away. Then we can be looking for that new heaven and that new earth it speaks of in Revelation 21. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And then down there in verse 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. The overcomers are those that have overcome those temptations to do that evil and live an evil life their whole existence. By overcoming, you have trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. You've got it washed in the blood. It's gone, taken care of. But notice what happens to those that did not get it taken care of, did not ask for forgiveness. Chapter 21, verse 8, "But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." The second death, that's the second separation. The total and complete separation, never ever to see God again and be cast into the lake of fire for eternity. That's what is there for all those that have not trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But it's very simple remedy to that is to, as it says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." All of it's gone. To cleanse us completely of all unrighteousness. And that includes those evil thoughts. And then don't have any more of those evil thoughts. When they come up, suppress them, ask for forgiveness, say, "Lord, cleanse my mind, keep those from me." Control them. Romans chapter 10, verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Saved from that lake of fire that we read about there in Revelation. 2 Peter 3, 14, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless." In peace. You have them evil thoughts, you're losing your peace. Get rid of them. At peace, without spot and blameless. That means you've taken it to the Lord. You've asked forgiveness for it. Like I've said so many times, it isn't that you get born again and again and again. No, you get born again once, and you become a child of God. Are you going to be an obedient or disobedient child? We know such a thing. You've raised kids, you've been around kids. You know there's some of them that are obedient, the other ones that are disobedient. What are you going to be? What are you going to do? It'll make a difference on what you enjoy in this realm. The peace and comfort and joy that you can have in this world at this time comes from your obedience to the Lord and you keeping your mind right. You can have the full joy of the Lord when you totally trust in the Lord and ask Him to cleanse you and give you that new mind that is available when we trust in the Lord. And then focus on Him and everything that He does for us and keep our mind and our thought pure. Over in Ephesians chapter 4, some guidelines here. Verse 17. "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." Vanity. Vanity means something fleeting, going away, worthless. Is your mind focused on things that are worthless, that are going away, fleeting, temporary, temporal, or are they focused on what is eternal? "Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness." Here he's talking to somebody who has not been given that new mind yet, a totally lost individual. "But ye, the born again, have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." See that renewing that we can have, that cleansing, that washing away, refreshed feeling that you can have, a peace that could come over you, a peace that passeth all understanding, as the Word of God tells us, when we totally win that tug of war and going to the spiritual side rather than the flesh side, controlling those evil thoughts. And in verse 24, "And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not." This is an interesting one here. He shows us and lets us know that, yes, there's going to be times that we're going to be angry at something or someone. What are you going to do with that anger? Are you going to suppress it and get rid of it? Or are you going to put it into action and actually get some vengeance on somebody, whether it be verbally or actually physically? Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You have a problem with somebody, get it taken care of. Neither give place to the devil. Notice there, this is talking to the Christians. Neither give place for the devil. Like I spoke of earlier, he cannot enter your mind. He cannot enter your heart because it's indwelt with the Holy Ghost. There's a no vacancy sign put up there. But you can add an addition onto your life, onto yourself, and say, this over here is an addition. I want to invite the devil to come on in and move into my addition. I got a spare room I just built just for the devil. You did that, you messed up. You don't have to do that. He don't have the power to make you do that. You have to do that of your own choice, your own will. Don't do it. It says, neither give place to the devil. As it says over in James, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Simple as that. Say, devil, get out of here. You have an evil thought? Evil thought, get out of here before you put it into action and have to get the devil out of there as well. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. See, here he's addressing just one of the issues of evil behavior is stealing stuff. If you have that temptation to steal stuff, if that's what the devil's using, if that's your bait he's using against you, that he hooks you with, then do just the opposite. Work and be generous and giving. And that makes a change within you. And then you have thoughts of giving rather than thoughts of stealing. That can be applied to any of our actions that would be evil. Do the opposite. Do the righteous. Do the good. Share the love. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That's a big one there. We have these evil thoughts or these evil feelings, and the next thing you know, you're spewing out something harmful or hateful towards someone else. Usually it's somebody very close to you, or a personal friend or associate, a worker, or a family member even. So quick and so easy to strike out at them verbally. Let no communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, to lift them up, to comfort them. Not to beat them down and kick them when they may have made a mistake. That it may minister grace unto the hearers. Grace means unmerited favor toward that individual. You might be feeling like you need to tell them off or say something harmful or bitter against them. But if you turn that around and say something pleasant to them, uplifting and encouraging to them, even though they don't deserve it, that's grace. That shows you're on track. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. See, when you let those evil thoughts come and then you implement them, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. Because of that tug of war between the flesh and the spirit. When you start leaning toward the flesh side, then you're grieving the Holy Ghost. Don't do that. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Reminding us, we are sealed by the Holy Ghost. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That right there is the key focus of this entire message, is that thoughts, that bitterness, that anger, the clamor, evil speaking that is within all of us, we got to get rid of that. And especially down there it says with all malice. That means with intent to do harm. So if you're saying something or you're doing something with the intent of hurting somebody else, that's malicious. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And that's a message going to the Christians, because this is specifically as he addressed it there in verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ, speaking to the Christians. So that means Christians can be bitter. Christians can have wrath and anger. Christians can clamor. That means disturbances. And they can speak evil. Shouldn't be. All that could be done with malicious intent from a Christian. You're losing that tug of war. You're onto the flesh side. Get rid of it. Wash it away. Get the full joy and the full peace that can come to you from the Lord. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Look at what he has forgiven us of. Cleansed us in his blood, forgiven us, given us an opportunity to be a part of his family, to have everlasting life. In that comparison, we should at least be forgiving to others that we associate with on a daily basis. Just be, as he says, tender-hearted, kind one to another, forgiving one another, and having that grace, unmerited favor, pour that upon them, even though they don't deserve it. You can still be nice to someone, and that edifies them. That means that lifts them up, and then maybe they'll improve, and you won't have to be so upset when they do something that you don't like. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Notice, his might. Not your might, because we are weak, we are cowardly, just a bunch of wimps. But when we're indwelt with the Holy Ghost, we can be like Peter and John, and we were reading about it in Sunday school, and have that boldness to step up right in the face of your fiercest enemy and still have that strength, because it comes from the Lord. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." They just pray for each other as well. Get it right. Get it cleansed. Lift it up and give it to the Lord. If you have any problem, any kind of a problem, any kind of temptation, get it washed in the blood. Get rid of it. Suppress those evil thoughts. Don't put them into works. When you suppress those evil thoughts, get them away, that peace that passeth all understanding comes upon you. The Holy Ghost is at the peak within you, and then you're filled with all those fruits of the Spirit. That joyfulness, that love, that compassion one for another. And then say this prayer that we find over in the book of Psalms. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting." So when we ask the Lord to look deep inside of you, is there something in there that needs to be taken care of? We know that the Lord prunes us, you might say, can help trim away the things that are harmful to us in our relationship with others and with him, if we ask him to do that. He's not going to force us to do that. But if we ask him, "Lord, look at me. Is there something I need to change? Is there a behavior or a thought that I have that should not be there? Please find that. Please cleanse me of that and get rid of that." When you do that, totally yield to the Lord, hang on for the ride, because he's going to give you quite the ride. And he'll give you that peace that passeth all understanding, and you can have the full joyfulness. So if you're not at peace, if you're not filled with joy, pray that simple prayer there again. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for the guidance that the Holy Ghost gives all of us that have trusted you. Help us all to yield to that guidance, to not grieve him whatsoever. And help us to take what you've blessed us with and go out into the world and share that love and shine that light into this dark world so they can see the path to you and they also can have that peace that passeth all understanding. We thank you oh so much for it all as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you all.